Well, today the Royal Commission and the Chairman of the Royal Commission will outline interpretation of the terms of reference, explain the procedures and steps the Royal Commission is going to go through over the next couple of years. Every Royal Commission is different, and it's up to each Royal Commission to decide how it's going to go about its process. This is obviously a delicate issue. This is an issue that has to be probed properly, and so the Commissioner is going to outline how they're going to do it. That's what's going to happen really today.
How much of that is the Commissioner's call to go about it as they see fit, or how much of it would have been specifically instructed to them by the government? Because it's the federal government that's called the Royal Commission. Would Julia Gillard's government have said, we want you to look at A, B, C, D, E? Or would they have given a very broad brief and the Commissioners have decided where they want to go on it?
Well, look, the government gives the terms of reference. It's actually given by the Governor-General, because this is a Royal Commission, so it's really technically appointed by Her Majesty's representative on the advice of the government. So there's terms of reference, but it's up to the Royal Commission to interpret that terms of reference. And once a Royal Commission starts, a government's got to butt out. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose of having a Royal Commission.
Now, this is... keep going.
So the Royal Commission is going to interpret its terms of reference. Sometimes Royal Commissioners interpret it widely, like the Fitzgerald Inquiry in Queensland a couple of decades ago, got into all sorts of issues that the government did not expect. Sometimes Royal Commissioners interpret it narrowly and stick very close to the legal interpretation of the terms of reference.
Now,
it's up to the Commissioners.
And there are multiple Commissioners here. Everyone knows that this is going to be a massive process and there's a large amount of subject matter. Is it unusual to have multiple Commissioners? There's Peter McClellan, but six Commissioners in total.
Yes, it is. Normally, Royal Commissions have, you know, maybe 1 to 3 members max. We had the Royal Commission of Aboriginal Deaths in Custody had 5. This Royal Commission's got 6. And they've changed the Royal Commission Act so that they can act individually, so they can go to different parts of the country at the same time and talk to witnesses and so on. That will make it easier to run the Royal Commission, but there's also the issue of managing that process to make sure there is consistency by each of the commissioners. They don't sort of contradict each other, okay?
And how does that also match? We've heard that there is a commission of inquiry taking place in Victoria at the moment. That is not a royal commission, but how does it gel with this? And does it continue to run in parallel? Is there any risk of contradiction or doubling up?
Well, this has been one of the problems about setting up this Royal Commission. You know, why was it set up? Given that most of these matters, almost all these matters, are concerning state government issues, police, child protection, welfare agencies, all that sort of matter. Now, those other inquiries, the Victorian Parliamentary Inquiry, will continue. In New South Wales, the New South Wales government has set up a special commission of inquiry into the police issue in the Hunter Valley about child abuse. So those things will go in parallel. So you're going, and there's already been lots of other inquiries into this sort of issue. And that's just one of the things that happens in government when you've got a federal system of government.
When people look at the potential magnitude of this Royal Commission, that there are a lot of comparisons drawn with the Irish Commission into church sexual abuse. That in some ways is held up as a template for both the magnitude, and I get the impression that the success in some ways of that process.
Well, I don't know whether the Irish one was a great success in a sense. Mm-hmm. It went on for a long time. It's a very different context because of the dominance of the church in Ireland compared to Australia. Here, this Royal Commission is looking at religious orders who've been running child protection or child care facilities. And that covers a multitude of different religions. State institutional care bodies, non-government type bodies. So it covers a whole range of things. It's a very different type of Royal Commission in Australia compared to the Irish one, which is in a very different context. So I think we should be very careful making international comparisons.
Okay, but this is charged to look at historic events. Some commentators are criticising, saying that there is a lot of child sexual abuse still going on in Australia at the moment that should also be on the agenda. Does the Commissioner have any breadth there? Are they specifically told nothing from the last 10 years or anything? How does that work?
No, they've charged to look at why this happened, what's the factors, but their main focus is on institutional care. We know child abuse occurs in families and in certain communities. That's not their brief. Their brief is to look at institutional care, care run by religious organisations, non-government bodies, and by government bodies. But of course, they're going to look at why has there been poor reporting processes? What has been the extent of child abuse not being reported? And most importantly, the Royal Commission's got to look to the future. How do we fix these problems nationally so that these sort of issues don't occur again? And when there is an abuse case, proper action is taken quickly to stop it.
I'm talking with Professor Scott Prasser from the Australian Catholic University, an expert in public policy and Royal Commission. Scott, we've heard a timeline of this reporting by 2015. Now, when it was first flagged that there could be an inquiry, a Royal Commission into this subject matter, people were saying anything up to a decade. Can we realistically at this stage have any idea how long this is going to take? And is it unusual or untoward for a Royal Commission to blow out significantly in terms of time?
No, it's not. The Aboriginal Deaths in Custody Royal Commission was going to take 12 months. It took 3 years. It was going to cost a couple of million dollars. It cost $30 million. The famous Costigan Royal Commission into the Painters and Dockers Union was going to be a quickie, and it took nearly 4 years to complete and blew out astronomically in cost. But governments can put limits, time limits, on royal commissions. The trouble of this Royal Commission, although there's been a time limit on when it's going to make its report, because of the sensitivity on both sides of politics to this issue and the possible change in government federally, a government that tries to close it down or make it report more quickly is going to be seen as a government trying to stop the Royal Commission from doing its work. Hmm. But governments have got a history in the past of closing down Royal Commissions, terminating them and giving them time limits and saying this must be stopped. The Costigan Royal Commission was closed down by the Hawke government earlier than when the commissioner wanted to keep going.